Fluff, your pace, your time. I will always be your willing partner. Stacy got to her feet. Now then, we should go clean up before dinner. We can't go see a king without looking our best, Karen agreed. Fluff got off of Albert, glancing at him, then away.
Al,
She paused, suddenly unsure. He got to his feet and embraced her. Thank you. I've wanted to be accepted by you. Thank you for kissing me and letting me know you were okay with me touching you.
Thank you, too. Can I wash your back?
Fluffball asked tentatively. If I can wash yours, he replied. Fluff nodded.
I think I'll be okay with that.
As they walked toward the bathing room, Fluff took a breath to calm her nerves before she said the next bit she wanted to.
You can wash my front as well.
Albert stumbled, catching himself. It's a day of rewards, it seems, he chuckled as he caught up to Fluff. He scooped her up into a princess carry. For giving me that gift, I'm going to carry you to the bath. Blushing lightly, Fluff buried her face in his neck.
Okay.
Fluff scrubbed him down, clearly still nervous. Albert kept his eyes closed, as he could feel her anxiety increase when he watched her. He kept his demeanor calm and a smile on his lips as she cleaned him and explored his body further. He caught snippets of Stacy and Karen on his left whispering to Fluff, encouraging her while she worked. He stood when asked to and sat mostly still otherwise, afraid he might spook her. He swallowed and tried to keep his breathing even when she finally got around to his groin. He took slow breaths and tried not to think of how good it felt as she handled him. Her grasp and his own rising desires proved greater than his willpower to keep himself down. He could sense her fascination and wonder, as well as her trepidation, as she stroked him gently.
I'm not hurting you, am I?
Fluff asked, her tone even softer than normal.
No,
Albert managed after a second. It's very pleasant. It's just hard to remain calm with you doing that.
Oh, it's hard all right,
Karen snickered. You definitely got a rise out of him, Fluff. Told you it wouldn't hurt. He didn't hear a reply, and with his eyes closed couldn't see Fluff's nod. He did feel her hand tighten on him. Not painful, but a firm hold as she continued to lather him. A shuddering breath escaped him.
Oh, gods. Fluff!
His voice was shaky, the words trailing off as his toes began to curl. Her hand loosened up and continued down his legs.
Sorry, it was just...
She paused.
I've seen you naked, but was still worried about doing that. I've never touched a guy like that, but Karen told me it would be okay. Stacia said you would like it. I thought, since we're moving forward some, that it would be okay.
Her voice and the emotions he could feel all told him the same thing. She was afraid still. Afraid of rejection. Fearful of being hurt for what she did. He cracked an eye just enough that he could make sure he touched her shoulder gently. She flinched just a fraction as his hand touched her. He let his eye close before she looked up. Love, it's fine. I wasn't upset or complaining.
Your touch feels delightful to me.
I just wanted you to know that you were having an effect on me. Again. Her emotions shifted back to happiness and acceptance at his words.
Oh, maybe sometime over the next week I can wash you again?
I'm more than willing to let you always wash with me. I'm sure our other wives will want some time to wash with me too, though.
Of course, Fluff replied quickly. I mean, we're all a family after all. I wouldn't try to monopolize you.
Stacia giggled. We know that, Fluff. Calm your nerves. You can have them all to yourself for the next week to wash, and neither of us will object. Will we, Karen?
She can wash him, but I want to wash her this week,
Karen replied.
Yes, please,
Fluffball added without pause, garnering a bit of laughter from the others.
I'm done, Al.
She moved away from him just before warm water came washing down from above. Once the water stopped, Albert stood up, aware he was still up in other ways as he stepped aside. "The stool is yours, Fluff." He motioned her to the spot he just vacated. Fluff took the seat, her eyes focused on his anatomy, until he moved behind her. Water washed over her for a moment as Albert got her ready for washing. He went to his knees behind her as he got his hands soapy. He could see and feel her tension before he even touched her. "Fluff, relax. Everything will be okay. If you need me to stop, just say so." He tried to project to her all the love he felt, trying to ease her fears. He watched as she sat up a little straighter. "Okay, here I go." He started at her head, using gentle but firm pressure. He rubbed at the backs of her ears, feeling her start to relax under his hands. As his hands went to her shoulders, she tensed again, slowly relaxing as he massaged her neck and shoulders. He stayed there for a few minutes, making her more relax, then moved to her mid-back and sides. His hands stayed proper as he bathed her, but he did take the time to enjoy the feeling of her under his fingers. She tensed again when he reached her lower back and hips. Albert continued massaging her, not doing anything other than washing her. She stood when he asked so he could begin on her legs. She bent her legs inward some as he washed her buttocks and thighs. He felt the sharp pulse of fear that slowly faded as he continued to be proper. Once he finished with her back, he asked her to sit again. He moved around to her front, his eyes on her face, watching her watch him. "Everything will be fine. I can be clinical if you want, or I can be a bit more personal and try to show you how happy being with you makes me," he told her, as he put more soap onto his hands, waiting for her reply. She looked up at him as he waited patiently.
"Maybe not completely clinical?"
she half asked, worried she would be rebuked. "As you wish," was his reply, as he shifted his gaze to her neck. She pulled back half an inch when his hands touched her neck. He paused there until she relaxed into his touch. His smile was bright to her eyes as he began to carefully scrub her cheeks, jaw, and neck. As his hands shifted to her arms, he focused on one, then the other, before he finally came back to her torso. He met her eyes again, pushing calm love into her, before his hands began to caress her collarbone. "Just relax, my lovely little Fluff. I will never harm you. I will stop the moment you tell me to." Her eyes stayed locked on his, her breath coming a touch faster. She nodded.
"I trust you, Al."
His hand slipped down into the sides of her small but pert chest. Her breath caught for a moment, then came out in a rush as he missed her breasts. His lips were quirked into a secretive smirk as his eyes darted back to hers.
"Anxious or fearful?"
he asked gently, as his hands brushed across her ribs, each finger ticking down her ribcage.
"Yes," she shivered. "I didn't mean to tease you earlier. I want to do more with you so badly, and I can't."
Her eyes closed as a tear slipped down her cheek. His hands left her sides, one moving up to rub one of her ears, the other gently caressing her jaw.
"Shh, I know. Just relax right now and enjoy my touch. I want to show you how much I love you, and how happy I am that you're making progress, and so fast."
She nodded.
"I'm broken." "Together, we will help you become whole again,"
Stacia added from behind her.
"I'll help you mend as much as you let me," Karen added.
"None of us here is exactly whole, Fluff," Albert told her.
"Yet each of us loves the others."
His hands went back to her ribs, the touch soft as the palms of his hands glided over her body, his fingers gently kneading her flesh. He watched her carefully as his hands crept towards her chest with deliberate slowness. She swallowed as his fingers rubbed all around her perky breasts. He let his palms graze over her mounds, not grabbing but merely stroking. Her breath caught in her throat, before letting out a deep sigh, as his hands slid off the upper slope of her chest.
"That felt nice. He didn't grab or demand anything, Fluff whispered,
her eyes still closed tightly. I won't either, Alvarez told her, as he focused on letting his palms do all the work, as he massaged the soap into her skin. He smiled as her nipples hardened under his hands, letting his thumbs lightly flick both hard tips as he finished. I see you get excited with my hands on you, as much as I do with yours on me.
Her eyes opened suddenly to meet his. Thank you.
His smile became broader as he shifted his attention to her feet, pulling them onto his leg. You're very welcome, Fluff. We aren't done yet, though. Licking her lips, she nodded.
Okay. You'll be gentle and slow all the way to the end, right?
As you wish, he said again, as he gently dug his thumbs into her foot. A soft moan followed by purring came from her.
Oh, that feels perfect.
Aye, he does massage very well, Stacia agreed, her voice a touch breathless. Albert tilted his head to the side to see around Fluff. He chuckled to see Karen administering her own form of massage to Stacia. Grinning, he went back to focusing on the woman he had his hands on. He switched feet after a few minutes, using his thumbs to dig into the sole of her other foot. When he finally finished with her feet, he began to work on her calves, using his palms to rub her muscles and giving his fingers a break. When he went past her knee to her thighs, Fluff began to tense up again. He didn't show his concern as he used his entire hand to massage soap into her outer thighs. She began to relax after a few minutes, which is when he slipped his hands over to her inner thighs. He stayed at mid-thigh and down towards the knee, his hands softer as he massaged her. Her breathing had quickened, but she hadn't shut down her legs like she had before. He looked up to meet her gaze, as his hands traced up just a touch higher. I can ask Karen to finish cleaning you, if that will make you more comfortable. Trembling, she hesitated, torn between wanting him to continue and fearful of letting him.
I'm sorry.
The words came out as a sob. Tears formed and began to fall from her eyes.
I'm so sorry. I just can't.
He pulled her into his arms and rocked her gently, whispering sweet nothings into her ear as he held her. A moment later, the other two joined him in holding her. After a few minutes, Fluff was able to control herself again. Before she could speak, Alberic kissed her lightly on the lips.
Shh. No more apologies. At least not tonight, Fluff. I want to thank you for sharing what you did with me. I'm happy that you allowed me all you did. Karen will finish your shower tonight.
She kissed him back, just a shade deeper before pulling back.
Thank you for being so understanding. I've been afraid of moments like this for so long.
Aye, and we'll all be here to help you past your fears, Stacia added, kissing Fluff on the ear before she stepped away.
I have her,
Karen said, taking Fluff into her arms. We were just about to see him get to the best part, but I'll handle that. Fluff closed her eyes.
Thank you, Karen.
No need to thank me, Karen replied as she got Fluff back on the stool.
Now I believe he left off at your thighs and sex, right? Albert stepped over to Stacia, who held a towel for him. He let her dry him as she wanted to. Albert watched with a touch of melancholy as Karen finished the job he had started. He knew it had been best to stop, even if parts of him had tried to encourage him otherwise. As Fluff's head tilted back a moment later, her eyes closed and her lips parted, he felt a deeper moment of wistfulness. Stacia held him from behind, nuzzling his neck.
She is conquering a lot of her fears fast, master. She will nae be much longer and letting you touch her as Karen does. Mayhap another month or two at the most.
Alberic nodded as he kept his eyes on the duo.
I'll wait as long as she needs.
We all be knowing that. And it'd be one of the reasons we all love you,
Stacia told him. Alberic spun. Kissing Stacia hard, he scooped her up and carried her from the room.
We'll be getting things ready, he called out over his shoulder.
We'll be along,
Fluff moaned, as she let Karen wash her. Chapter 20 The tailors had clearly conferred on the outfits. Each outfit was tailored to the wearer, yet all four complemented each other both in style and fabrics. Once they were dressed, looking resplendent in new outfits of black and red, the quartet exited their home to find a royal carriage waiting for them. The footman helped the ladies in, Albert following with a wry smile.
Not used to having others there to help you all in.
Aye, but it'd be fine. You got to touch enough earlier,
Stacia said with an amused twist to her lips.
Tell me about it. He all but monopolized Fluff during the shower.
Karen snickered. Fluff's lips twitched into a small smile of her own.
He was very good about it.
Rubbing his face with his left hand, Albert sighed.
Yeah, that is so not what I meant.
You should have expected it,
Karen added.
Fair enough, Albert agreed.
Do we have any idea who else besides the King, Jones, and our group is going to be there?
Gerald didn't say,
Fluff commented.
It will depend on exactly what the King has planned. We don't have any of those details.
So we could be walking into a massive state dinner? Or a small, quiet affair of only a half dozen or so?
Albert pinched the bridge of his nose.
It'd be fine. Gerald be the one to shoulder the responsibility. We just be there as his officers,
Stacia said as she rubbed his neck with her left hand.
Good to know. Al doesn't do well with surprises.
Or is it the grand meal that's the issue? Karen asked.
I hate to think that we're about to attend a state dinner.
Albert sighed. The conversation hit a lull for a bit as the carriage rolled on. When it came to a stop, Karen and Fluff perked up, but Albert motioned them back.
First gate. There's another gate after this, then the actual door.
Aye, it was a bit nerve-wracking the first time. Nae knowing which stop was finally going to be it.
What's it like?
Karen asked.
You've both been inside the castle before, so what's it like?
Big, ornate. Full of overblown peacocks?
Albert muttered.
Karen frowned at him. You really don't like the nobles, do you?
Not one bit, Albert replied easily.
Well, Gerald might be one soon, so better start learning to be nice, Karen added.
Fine, but you'll just have to wait and see the castle, Albert told her.
The carriage came to another brief stop.
That'll be gate two. Next one will be where they open the door for us.
Fluff smoothed her dress. I look okay, right?
Gorgeous.
Albert smiled at her.
Beautiful,
Stacia said to calm the worried Lunari.
The most beautiful woman in the world,
Karen told her before kissing her cheek.
I'll try not to shame you any. I get the feeling you probably know etiquette better than the rest of us.
I did look over the small bits that Mind Blown sent out to the art teams about the nobles.
Fluff's eyes partially closed as she tried to bring the information to mind.
For dinner, start with the outermost utensil, Albert told them.
That's about all I know. If we copy Gerald and Mary Sue, we should be fine. They're used to dealing with the ultra-rich, after all.
Fair enough, Karen chuckled.
The carriage came to a final halt, and the boots of the footman could be heard just before the door opened. Albert got out first, taking a position next to the door of the carriage. Stacia came out next, and Albert took her hand from the footman. Fluff followed Stacia out of the carriage, and he took her hand with his free one, as she stared up at the castle. Karen came out last, taking Fluff's arm and looking up at the castle as well.
It's certainly big and imposing,
Fluff said, as she settled her arm in Karen's.
That's what I always tell him,
Karen smirked. The castle isn't bad either.
Shall we, ladies?
Albert asked, as he led Stacia past the other two.
It's best not to keep the king waiting.
Just like a guy, always wanting to get in quickly,
Karen said under her breath, just loud enough to be heard.
Karen, please,
Albert sighed. Until we leave, please cut back some. Fine, Karen chuckled.
Because you said please.
As they approached the top of the stairs, a butler in royal livery stepped forward.
Are you the officers of Alpha Company?
We are, Albert responded.
If you will follow me, then,
the butler told them as he moved towards the doors.
Your guild leader is already here, in the green room. I shall show you to him, until you are summoned by Sir Jones.
Our thanks,
Albert replied, as they followed the butler into the castle proper. Fluff and Karen made appreciative noises over the decor. Albert grinned, having been inside once already. Stacia handled it better this time as well, though she did point out a few items that had impressed her the first time. The halls were empty as they followed the butler. Eventually, they were ushered into a small sitting room, the rugs and furniture all done in shades of green. Mary Sue and Gerald greeted them as the quartet was shown in.
Oh, good, you made it. I was a little worried, Gerald said as his shoulders relaxed.
I would have sent word if we weren't, Albert told him.
Jones stopped by when we first got here, Gerald went on after. This will be a small meal, just us, Jones, and the king. Normally the queen would be here as well, but she's visiting the elven court this week.
Thank gods, Albert sighed. I was dreading it being a state dinner, or something similar. Gerald grinned. I can see where that would cause you to pause. According to Jones, the king just wants to officially thank us for gifting him with Gwaine's armor.
Oh, good. I was hoping it was something related to that, Albert replied.
Jones did tell us he had a gift to bestow upon us, Mary Sue added. Oh? Is Gerald going to get nobled, knighted, or however you say, given a title?
Karen asked.
That is my hope, Mary Sue beamed.
Gerald looked at Mary Sue with a bemused expression. We'll find out after dinner. Almost as if summoned, the door was opened by the same servant that had showed them to the room.
If you will follow me, please, the king will see you now.
Gerald and Mary Sue led the group following the servant. Albert, with Stacia on his arm, followed them, and Karen escorting Fluff came after. As they trailed the servant down the hall, a group of finely dressed men came around the corner ahead of them. One of the men came to a halt directly before the servant.
Who are these people? They obviously don't belong in the court. Two half-bloods inside the castle. What is the world coming to?
The disdain dripping from his voice was almost physical, it was so thick. Albert's lips twitched as he eyed Skippy Gildan. Before anyone else could say anything, Gerald spoke up, in a soft yet clear tone.
Ah, excuse us, sir. You seem to have the advantage. Who might we have the honor of addressing?
Pulling his body up straight, Skippy sneered at Gerald.
I'm Skippy Gildan, the next heir to House Gildan. And who might you be? Rabble?
These are the guests of His Majesty, King Tyr Justison,
the servant replied before Gerald could.
You are speaking to the guild leader of Alpha Company, Gerald Twosold, and his officers. You are impeding my delivery of them to His Majesty.
Skippy's face went red with anger.
Alpha Company, run by that miserable upstart, Alberit.
The servant stifled a sigh.
I just stated that the guild leader is Gerald Twosold.
Skippy ignored the servant, as his eyes came to rest on Alberit, who stood head and shoulders over the others.
You!
Hey, Skip, how's life treating you? Get any fun surprises in the last few weeks?
Albert asked with a barely suppressed snicker.
You sent that assassin?
Skippy's face went white with anger as he snarled out the words.
Actually, all I did was return him to the sender.
Was that you? Albert's voice went from mocking to icy with the last three words.
Sir, if you do not step aside, then you will be required to explain to His Majesty the delay you have caused in my carrying out his orders, the servant said.
Skippy's nostrils flared as he kept his eyes pinned to Albert.
I have no wish to anger the king.
Skippy snarled through clenched teeth as he stepped aside. "I have simply encountered an old acquaintance with whom I shall be having business again, soon." Albert gave Skippy a frosty grin. "I'll be your huckleberry." The mob of nobles all blinked, not understanding the reference. Karen snorted and Mary Sue's lips tightened as she suppressed a grin. The servant, clearly annoyed, set off down the hall again. "If you will follow me, please. The king should not be kept waiting even longer than he already has." "Of course." Gerald stepped close to Skippy, leaning in to speak quietly. "If you target one of us, then you will be dealing with all of us. Have a good evening, Sir Gildan." Gerald set off after the servant. Teeth grinding, Skippy watched them go, his eyes still locked on Albert. "As soon as the immunity ends, you will wish you had never crossed me," Skippy hissed as Albert passed him. "I'll greet them the same as I did the last one, Skippy, so be ready for them to bounce back at you," Albert replied, not varying his pace as he followed Gerald and Mary Sue. He was aware of the eyes of Skippy's entourage drilling into his back as he made his way down the hall. His lips were pursed in momentary bemusement. The anger he had gotten to know so well over the last few years hadn't consumed him. It was there, bubbling away under the surface, but hadn't made him want to lash out.
"You did well keeping your anger in check, Astor," Stacia murmured. "I did nae have to help you suppress it. This means you may have be getting better, like Fluff."
"Maybe," Albert muttered as he considered the idea. A few turns later, they were ushered into the same dining room Albert had visited before. Jonas was grinning at them as they were ushered inside. All eyes went to the man beside him, King Justicen, who, without trying, dominated the room. Standing well over 6 feet tall, the king was of middling years. His blonde hair was marred by the dusting of gray at his temples. The network of fine lines around his green eyes resolved into smile wrinkles as the king smiled at his visitors. "Welcome to my home, Alpha Company," Justicen intoned, his voice a light baritone that resonated with authority. "Jonas has told me much about your journey over the last few days, as well as presenting me with your gift. We shall discuss that more after the meal. Please, come in and be seated." The king took his seat, gesturing for the rest of them to follow suit. The group took their places around the small table, Albert and Gerald seating their ladies before taking their own places. Gerald was to the left of the king, with Mary Sue beside him. To the king's right sat Jonas, with Stacia beside him. Albert took Stacia's other side after seating Fluff to his other side, and Karen next to Mary Sue. Once they were all seated, the doors behind the king opened, and a small army of servants came in bearing the first course. The first course, shrimp arranged into a flower served with sweet and spicy sauce, was one that Albert remembered from his previous dinner with Jonas. Jonas smiled as the next course was brought in.
"I took your suggestion, Albert, and asked the chef to use some bacon in this soup. The result is quite nice, and the chef asked me to convey his compliments."
The servant announced the next course, setting bowls of fragrant potato soup, infused with some hard cheese in front of each of them, along with the same small glasses of clear liquid Albert remembered from before.
"Dwelden Snapmaw with Elven Snow Wine."
The servers deftly switched out dishes and vanished once more. During the meal, King Justicen asked them each about the trek to Gwaine's Keep, getting each of their impressions of several of the larger fights they'd encountered on the way. Descriptions of the bands of infernals roaming the town around Gwaine's Keep that had cleared the undead in front of the raid were met with wonder from the king. The conversation was sidetracked when the final course was served. Albert remembered how incredible the dragon steak had been, and held back on taking the first bite so he could watch the reactions of the others, especially Karen and Fluff. He wasn't disappointed, as Karen was rendered apparently speechless, and Fluff's purring became audible. When dessert was served,
They all eyed the tiny replicas of the castle with wonder. Even Mary Sue and Gerald were amazed at the intricacy of the confections.
"This is amazing. I've never seen anything like it,"
Mary Sue said.
"Yes, I was very pleased to secure the services of this baker," Justison chuckled. "But please, take a taste." He watched them as they tentatively flaked a piece of the wall away.
As they each took the bite, they paused to savor the most perfect dessert they had ever tasted. Seeing their enjoyment, he took a bite of his favorite dessert as well. At the end of the meal, they each felt comfortably sated.
"That was the best dinner I've ever had, Your Majesty," Gerald said with conviction.
"I do have the best chefs," Justison smiled broadly.
"Now, let us adjourn to a different setting and discuss the reason I've invited you all here."
Getting to his feet, Justison pulled a cord beside him. The door was opened a moment later by an elf, who bowed deeply.
"Here called, sire?"
"Is the Grand Library prepared?" Justison asked.
"It is as you wished, sire."
"If you will all follow, we are adjourning to the library for coffee and conversation," King Justison said, following the elf from the room. The group trailed after the king, Jonas, and the elf. It took a bit of walking before they came to a set of ornate double doors, which the elf swept open for them. The Grand Library was awe-inspiring. On one side of the massive room, rows of tall bookshelves stretched off into the distance. The other half of the room held desks, seating areas, and displays. The king guided them to a group of couches and chairs in front of a huge fireplace. Beside the hearth, Gawain's armor was arrayed on a display stand, along with the weapons and shield found with it. The king settled himself in the largest chair and grinned at them.
"Sit. We have some matters to discuss."
Once they'd all taken seats, the same elf who'd brought them there wheeled over a small cart containing a coffee service. He took each of their orders, preparing the coffee quickly and silently. Once it had been served, he all but vanished into the shadows behind the king's chair. Taking a sip of his coffee, King Justison settled more comfortably into his chair.
"Now, as for the reason you are here tonight, I felt it proper to meet for myself the persons responsible for bestowing artifacts of such historical significance upon the crown. I've discussed appropriate gifts to give in return at some length with Lord Jones. After further consideration, I have decided on those gifts that I feel would be most suitable to visit upon Alpha Company."
The group all leaned forward slightly in anticipation, drawn in by the gravity of Justison's words. Jonas grinned as he sipped his coffee.
"You're playing it up again, dear,"
Justison chuckled.
"What would I do without a friend who will call me on my antics? But then I don't get to do this sort of thing every day."
"Fine, fine. Let us be serious about the moment. Firstly, I hereby grant Gawain's Keep and the surrounding lands to Gerald Twosold. Further, you will be called before the court tomorrow and be knighted so that you may accept my generous gift. This does come with obligations. You must maintain a standing garrison of crown guards, who are to be commanded by an officer-ranked commander at the least. You will be responsible for the lodging and upkeep of the garrison stationed in your lands. You may impose your own laws on the lands surrounding your keep. However, those laws may not conflict with those decreed by the crown."
Gerald pursed his lips to speak, but the king cut him off with an upraised hand. "Wait until I finish." Taking another sip of coffee, the king continued his detailed explanation.
"You will, as a noble managing the lands granted to you, be able to impose taxes up to the maximum allowed by the crown. That rate is no more than 10% on all goods or services purchased in your area of influence. Half of all the taxes you collect will be collected by the crown every new year. The rest is yours to do with as you see fit. But do keep in mind the men under your command. The commander of your men will report to you, but they are still my men. Do not forget that. If you are ever found to be disloyal to the crown, they will bring you to me. Pausing for another drink, the king seemed to relax. Now on to the good news. The crown is prepared to send the best craftsmen at our disposal to get the town surrounding your keep back in order, along with enough men to properly staff the keep and the town. So, did you have any questions regarding this gift or its entailments? Gerald cleared his throat softly.
No questions, Your Majesty, but my humbled thanks.
Holding out his cup for the servant to take, Justicin leaned forward. It's so refreshing not to be hounded about the minutiae. There are two other things I'd like to discuss before we're done. First, your portal. I will maintain your portal in exchange for being able to send my scouting parties from your keep into the Deadlands. The additional traffic should be good for the town, and in turn the keep and your guild. The second thing is regarding your previous petition to the crown. Alberet sat up straighter as Justicin turned to him.
Alberet Tussaud, you were the leader of Alpha Company when this request was made. You've since stepped aside and given over your guild to your second. I wish to know why.
King Justicin focused on Alberet with serious eyes.
Your Majesty, as you undoubtedly know, I was human, and have become half-infernal with the Dark Lord's blessing. This has been less than well-received in various places. It was decided that it is in the best interest of the guild, that the person running it should be more socially acceptable than I am at present. I also have other difficulties from the other world that are best left undisturbed. That would be difficult in the extreme if I was a noble and became a focus of attention.
You called it, Jonas, the king said as he nodded.
Very well.
The last boon from the crown to Alpha Company shall be the proclamation that summoners and necromancers may keep their minions with them within the walls of Stormguard henceforth. Their owners will, of course, be held responsible for their minions' actions. I will issue the decree on the morrow when I knight Gerald.
That was the last bit of business I had with you all this evening.
Rising rather abruptly, the king bid them farewell and left the room, the servant trailing behind him. Jonas stayed behind.
Not badly done at all. Did you have any questions you did not wish to ask the king?
Gerald shook his head.
Not really. Well, besides what time I need to be here tomorrow.
Jonas grinned. A carriage will be dispatched to pick you up. I would recommend that you look into establishing a permanent residence here in the city. It's not actually a law, but it is considered to be quite the proper thing that each of the nobles maintains a house here.
We will make suitable arrangements,
Mary Sue replied.
Thank you again, Sir Jones. None of this would be happening if not for your support.
Only in a way. This all started with a gift to the king from Sir Draken, a relic that Alberet sold him.
It's getting late. Let me show you out for the evening.
Jonas gently ushered them out of the room in the castle.
Tomorrow will be a good day. A Tussaud is being granted knighthood.
Oh, the courtiers on hand tomorrow won't know what to do with themselves. Jonas chuckled. A footman bowed to the group as a carriage came to a stop under the portico.
Your carriage, sir and madam?
Gerald and Mary Sue were settled in and the carriage rolled away, replaced immediately by another one.
Well, that was interesting,
Karen said once they were on their way.
The palace is really nice, and the king was amazing. He has been a good king,
Stacia opined.
Unlike some of the ones in the past, he has ne persecuted anyone.
He was intense, Fluffball added. He wore his confidence like a cloak.
It's late. And tomorrow Gerald was thinking about arranging a goodbye feast for those members who only opted for a single month, Albert said after a moment of silence. I'm thinking we should turn in for the night. A nice cuddle to end a pretty busy day. The three women readily agreed to his idea.
The rest of the ride home and the few minutes spent getting ready for bed went by in a comfortable silence. Albert chuckled as he was surrounded once they all climbed into bed. Fluff took his right, Karen her far side, while Stacia took his left.
"I don't know why I fought this for so long," he murmured as they all snuggled in.
"Fear,"
Fluffball suggested.
"Afraid of letting others close."
"Stubborn pride," Karen snickered. "Having to say you were wrong about pulling away from us in the first place."
"It does nae matter. All that matters be that we all be a family now. Your pasts all brought you to this point, even the worst parts of them.
I just be grateful for every moment that we have together. Master brought me the greatest joy I have ever known. With you both joining us, me joy has only grown. So we should nae longer focus on the past, but more on the now,"
Stacia told them, as she reached across Al to caress Fluff's ear.
"I know you feel the same happiness and joy that I do.
Kind of unfair to us, you being able to feel our emotions," Karen muttered.
"I've been able to for the last week as well, remember?"
Albert reminded them. "Shortly before our trip across the Deadlands ended, the ability seemed to open up for me. It's hard to describe, but I can sense your joy, sadness, sorrow, or ecstasy."
"You know just how happy I am here with you?"
Fluff asked, her heart beating faster.
"Yeah. I also feel you worry about me hurting you. I wish I could let you feel what I do. It would make things easier,"
Albert said as he kissed her cheek.
"That sounds a little scary, too,"
Karen added.
"Not being able to hide the pain that a loved one causes you unintentionally? Or even a passing desire when you see an attractive person walk by?"
"Aye, but none of us are jealous, are we? So the second one be moot. The first one, is that nae also good? If in you both know that something hurt one of you, then you can work on making your lives that much better,"
Stacia opined.
"I think I would like it,"
Fluffball whispered.
"To feel the love you all have for me. To know, not just hope, but to really know, would be freeing."
"That would be kind of nice,"
Karen admitted.
"Aye, mayhap," Stacia murmured. "Shall I sing us to sleep?"
"It's like non-addictive Valium," Karen chuckled.
"I like your songs,"
Fluff said. "Only if you don't stay up too long after we fall off," Albert told her.
"I will join you for slumber as quick as I can,"
Stacia replied. She began to sing softly to her friends and lovers, a gentle tune of love. As the song washed over them, their eyes fluttered once, before closing. As their breathing evened out, Stacia briefly got out of bed, returning a couple of minutes later. As she snuggled back to Albert's side, she whispered,
"Forgive me, Master, but I had to ask."
With that, she closed her own eyes and let sleep take her as well.
Chapter 21. Albert frowned as he looked at the room he was in. He knew David's living room instantly, but he didn't understand why he was seeing it now.
"Maybe if you turn around,"
his own voice said. Turning, Albert found he was facing a copy of himself, a few years younger but still him.
"What the fuck?"
"Just a quick meeting of the minds, you could say," his double chuckled. "I talked to you before when you were literally tearing us apart. You finally listened to me and did something about it.
We're finally starting to heal, thanks to our wife,
or wives, I guess I should say, and grats on that, by the way.
They're helping us. Love can heal most wounds, and with as much love as we have around us, we might actually recover."
"Do you remember the psychiatrist giving us less than 10% odds to fully recover?"
"No,"
Albert said, as he took a seat in his usual spot. "So why are we meeting now?"
"Mostly to thank you. And them. It was getting kind of crowded in here. After Kaylee died, you started splitting off new memories, dozens of them. Now that you're actually starting to accept the truth, we're being reintegrated. So this is maybe the last time I'll get to speak to you. While we're talking about accepting truth, do you recall Victoria showing us the memory of you killing the guy that killed Kaylee? You remember she asked what was wrong with it?
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it,
Albert said, his voice thoughtful.
What you said to him, right before you shot him, his double said. For killing the person I loved most in the world, I'm going to kill you. Then find you in hell and kill you over and over again. Which, by the way, we all agree with.
Wait, you keep saying we. Do I have multiple personality disorder?
Yes and no. It's more like lots of saved copies with errors, each one more flawed than the previous one. I'm one of the earliest ones.
You've already assimilated a few dozen by accepting Mom, David, and Kaylee's deaths. Each moment you let the women love you, more of us can step aside. Your memories, the real memories, will now slowly return even without Stacia's help.
So why are you the one talking to me? Albert asked curiously.
Leaning against a wall, the double chuckled.
Well, because I was the only one who really wanted to.
So thank you for finally facing the truth. I doubt we'll talk again. But if we do, it will probably be just before I assimilate back into you. The double vanished, and the room faded away as Albert felt himself grow groggy. Albert woke to Fluff kneading his pectoral muscles gently as she purred in her sleep. There was no one on his other side, which meant Stacia was already awake. He rolled towards Fluff, draping his arm over her waist as she continued to knead at his chest. He just watched her with a smile on his lips as he recalled the dream.
It hurts, but with all the love here with me, maybe I'll be okay after all.
You damn well better be, Karen said softly as she rose up from Fluff's other side. Her eyes went from him to Fluff's hands, her smile broadening.
She is so cute when she does that. Just glad it's you this morning and not me. It kinda kicks my motor on from the word go.
Albert chuckled. It just feels nice to me.
Hmm? Fluff murmured as her eyes fluttered open. Is it morning?
Morning, Fluff, Albert said as he kissed her lightly.
Blinking to clear her vision, Fluff looked up to see Albert smiling at her.
Morning, Al. Thank you for the morning kiss.
I want one, too,
Karen said with a mock pout, gently pulling Fluff around to face her. Karen was grinning when the kiss ended.
It is a really nice way to start the day.
One of the best, Albert agreed as he got out of bed. Maybe we should go hunt Stacia down and all give her one.
Walking out of the bedroom, trailed by a pair of naked women, Albert went towards the living room and the kitchen. Just as he was about to leave the hallway, he heard voices. He came to an abrupt stop, with the other two coming up just behind him. He held up a hand to stop them from asking questions, but even then he couldn't make out who was talking or about what. He motioned the other two back as he turned back to the room.
Company. No idea who. Might be a good idea to get something on before we go out there, he said softly.
Karen opened her mouth to object, when Fluff nodded and went with Albert. Karen closed her mouth and followed the two of them. They all threw on some clothes and went back out to the living room. What they found was Stacia in just an apron, talking with Mother.
There they be. They must have wanted to be dressed first,
Stacia said as she got up from the sofa, where she'd been sitting next to Mother.
Breakfast be ready when ya be. I'll bring ya some coffee.
Ah, good. You're all up. We should talk,
Mother said in her normal, sultry tone. She turned slightly to address Karen and Fluffball directly.
Stacia tells me that the two of you were thinking it would be nice to feel your lover's emotions. Do you still feel that way?
Karen and Fluff, who had taken seats on the small sofa, both looked back at a grinning Stacia. "We were discussing it just last night," Karen said after a moment. "We'd only briefly touched on the subject, the pluses and minuses of being able to."
"I'm still interested,"
Fluff said when Karen paused.
"What would we have to do?"
Mother's smile bloomed at Fluff's words.
"Always looking for the cost is good, Fluffball. However, this time there is no hook. The Dark Lord has decided to grant you all a reward for claiming Gwaine's keep and flushing Ophelia from hiding. So, if you want, for your reward, we can conduct the ritual needed for you two to become half-blood infernals of the succubus line. Stacia's reward was asking for this for you both. Albert's reward is something that will help him along a path he is walking. Your other guild officers will be granted small boons from him. I have the tokens for them with me. Also, all summoners who went with you have received reputation gains with the Dark Lord's followers, as well as minor boosts for their minions, including Bob and Tiny.
So this is a reward?
With no strings attached? Karen asked, her eyes narrowing.
That is correct,
Mother replied, sitting back while Stacia handed out coffee to everyone. Sipping at the beverage, she nodded her thanks to Stacia.
It is a quick thing, though a touch painful, as Albert can attest to. While you both consider that...
Mother paused to pull two discs of black metal flecked with red out of her bag.
These are for your friends. All they have to do is hold one and state the boon they would like from the Dark Lord.
She placed them on the coffee table in front of Albert.
Also, here is your reward, Albert.
She pulled out a set of soft leather pants.
I hope you enjoy them. Maybe thinking I'll enjoy him being in them. And out of them,
Stacia commented, as she picked up the pants, looking them over before she handed them to Albert. Her lips pursed in a silent whistle as Albert took them.
I'll be generous.
Albert took the pants that shaded from black at the waist to dark red at the ankle. He gave a rueful shake of his head. Somehow I had a feeling it was going to be part of the set. Pants of the Demon Lord. Unique scaling item, part of the Demon Lord set. Armor 130 to legs, up to 200 depending on level. Stacks with demon skin. Agility 130, up to 200 depending on level. Charisma 130, up to 200 depending on level. Indestructible. Immune to movement impairing effects. Becomes soulbound when equipped. Other parts of set. Crown, boots, gloves, robes, belt. Three-piece bonus. Race change and improved stats from armor. Six-piece bonus? He held the pants out to Stacia.
Dear heart, will you go put these with the rest of the armor?
Aye.
Stacia took them from him, collecting a brief kiss, then went to drop the pants off. She was back out in the living room a moment later. Fluff and Karen looked at each other, each reaching a decision. While Stacia walked behind them, Fluff looked up at Stacia's smiling face. With a firm nod, Fluff looked to Mother.
I would like to do the ritual, please.
I will, too,
Karen said a heartbeat after Fluff. Mother pulled two vials from her pouch, holding them out to Karen and Fluffball. Both looked very similar to the one Albert had taken when he'd transitioned to a half-blood infernal.
You need to be aware that this is going to change your physical self. You will experience some momentary pain. You might wish to lie down.
Fluff took the vial and sat down on the floor, Karen right beside her. As the two of them looked at the vials in their hands, Stacia and Albert came over to kneel next to their heads. We will be right here, Albert told them. He could feel the trepidation from both of them, but Karen was the more worried of the two.
He gently touched her brow. I survived this. If I could handle it, there is no doubt that you can. Meeting his eyes, Karen took a calming breath, giving him a smile.
Thanks for the pep talk, Coach.
Fluff took Karen's hand with her free one.
Together?
Together, Karen agreed. 3, 2, 1. As she got to one, they both downed the red fluid. The reaction was instantaneous. Their backs arched as the air left their lungs before they could scream. Stacia gripped Fluff firmly, but with care, as Albert did the same with Karen. He watched as the elixir worked its physical changes on them. He took in the changes he could see in their bodies as the elixir worked. Karen's skin grew a bit paler, becoming softer to the touch. Her curves became a touch more rounded and full, while she gained several inches in height. Fluff was going through similar changes. Her fur now looked like the softest silk, flowing across her enhanced figure. Albert had to suppress an urge to stroke it. His eyes went back to Karen, who seemed to be coming down off the pain. The skirt she was wearing, that had been quite modest before, now fit her like a miniskirt. He shifted so Karen's head rested in his lap, as he waited for her to come back to consciousness. Stacia did the same with Fluff.
That was near as bad as what you went through.
Albert nodded as he reached out to gently touch the fur on Fluff's arm. He had been right. Her fur was silky soft to the touch. I just hope they're okay with the changes.
I'm done here, and it might be best if I am not present when they wake,
Mother said as she got to her feet.
I look forward to whatever awaits you next, Albert Tussauld. Take care of my granddaughters for me.
She vanished in a puff of smoke. Wait, Albert frowned. Did she just call them her granddaughters?
Aye. It means she gave them blood from one of her daughters.
Stacia nodded with a small grin.
You truly do have sister wives now.
Chuckling, Albert looked down as Karen began to stir.
Hey there, Minx. How are you feeling?
Karen groaned as she opened her eyes.
You went through that. He went through worse, actually, Stacia told her. How do you feel?
Like my blood was superheated while my muscles were in a taffy puller. Fluff whimpered as she opened her eyes.
It hurt.
Albert grabbed a coffee mug from the table. He held it to Karen's lips, having heard her parched voice. Sip the coffee, then we'll give some to Fluff, he said as he held the cup steady. Once she had swallowed some, he handed the cup to Stacia, who repeated the process for Fluff.
You'll both be a bit taller than you were before.
Karen frowned as she lifted her head to look down at her body. Blinking, she touched her chest, then her legs.
I hit puberty, I think.
She laughed once. I'd say a full cup size at the least. You're also about 2 inches taller, Albert told her. Your skirt is now just barely covering your dignity.
You could have taken it off then,
Karen replied.
He was busy feeling your skin and Fluff's fur.
Stacia giggled. Fluff blinked.
Where did he touch us? Your arms. He'd be too gentlemanly to do anything more.
Stacia grinned. If you're both feeling better, we can get you up and onto a more comfortable piece of furniture, Albert offered. Karen grunted as she sat up.
The sofa would work for now.
Stacia and Albert helped the other two up onto the sofa, where they sat for a few minutes recovering from the elixir.
I don't feel anything different,
Fluff mumbled, her sadness palpable. It took close to a week for me to really start to feel emotions clearly. In the next day or two, you'll feel a jumble of emotion when you focus on someone. After that, it goes away. When it comes back a few days later, it's clearer.
Oh, right, you said that before,
Karen muttered.
I forgot that. You may not be interested to know that your blood be of her line. We three, I'll be carrying a bit of the same blood in our veins now.
Stacia sat down beside Karen, draped in